A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The desert and the parched land will exult, the steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble, make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not, here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you, then will the eyes of the blind be opened. The ears of the deaf be cleared, then the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return to enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness, sorrow and mourning will flee. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of St. James. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You too must be patient. Make your hearts firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing before the gates. Take as an example of hardship and patience, brothers and sisters, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When John the Baptist heard in prison the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the poor have the good news preached and proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind. Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing. Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then what? Why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one whom about it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of woman, there is none greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Now, as I was joking with the people at the 8:30 Mass, I'm going to just say it again. You all must be afraid of hell to come to Mass this morning. I don't know, we could use some of that fire. Maybe not the fire from there, but we could use a little fire to warm our hearts, I'm sure, you know? But anyway, I'm glad, though, that you're here. Hopefully, in the morning now, things will start to get cleared up and... you know, it's winter in Ohio, whether we want to admit it or not. But this has been a strange December, you know. It's been unseasonably cold. We have snow now, and we had snow at Thanksgiving. The only time I remember snow at Thanksgiving was one time when I was a young boy. But boy, when I stayed overnight here in the rectory Thanksgiving night, that the snow was just blowing across the parking lot. It was something to see. But you know, in today's hymns that we sing, and I love the hymns of Advent, even more so sometimes than the Christmas carols that we sing. And they go away so fast. But this is one of my favorite Advent hymns that we sing. Comfort, O my people. Freu dich sehr, O meine Seele. As they say in German. I should keep talking in German so they think, you know, that I have finally lost my mind, you know. But anyway, I like to, every once in a while, to, you know, keep that German, you know, going. But read the poetry, if you will, of that hymn and what it really says for you and for me as it calls us to give, that we are to have comfort. You know, that we are, you know, and there's something too that I want to, before I begin my formal homily that I want to share with all of you, because I've always tried to be honest and share things from my life with all of you. You know, first of all, I want to thank all of you who came to the mission this past week. We had a nice number of people who came. And I know the cold weather probably kept a lot of people away, but we still had nice numbers. I was happy with the people who came, and I think the people who came, I had such positive feedback from people. And for all you who prayed the rosary, who walked in the processions, for Bobby and for Lori, for all, you know, it was work. It was work, and you know, it was work for us. But I don't want Advent to die. I don't want the season of Advent to die. The only time that we hear generally about Advent is when you come into the church. You know, but anyway, so thank you for being a part of that. And I hope Father's holiness. And he was 85 years old. He is an old-fashioned missionary that you don't find too much anymore. But you know, we had the flowers. We had roses. Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, the beauty of that feast day of roses in December. And I need myself to believe in that. And I do believe in that. And I believe in miracles because many of you have come to me and shared with me in confession about loved ones who are sick, loved ones who are struggling, you know, and it has come now to my family as well. My dad, many of you know my parents have met my parents. My mom and dad have come, you know, to church here. They've come to picnics and the nice events that we have. My dad has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And it is at the moderate stage. Now, last year, we kind of knew something was up. And so my sister and I, we kind of commiserated together. And my sister, you do not want to get her mad. Believe you me, you do not want to get her mad. So they went, you know, and I said to my sister, I says, let them go to the doctor and see what the doctor says. So their regular physician said, oh, well, it's old age. It's, you know, he's getting older. And when my sister found that out, she went ballistic. So not only have they changed their medical doctor at the insistence of my sister, but now we have also, you know, what they call a memory doctor, Alzheimer's doctor. So what I need to share, I wanted to share that with you because there might be times where I have to go and stay with my dad, like this week. This week we're not going to have Mass on Wednesday or Thursday. And the reason being is my mom's having cataract surgery, so my sister's going with my mom. I have to stay with my dad. So if things like that happen, I will do my best to let you know so that we announce it so that no one is surprised by that. But I said to my mother, I says, I want to let the parishioners know because I think that it's important for them to know that my struggles are also many of your struggles, you know, and that I'm dealing, you know, with the same. As many of you come to me, you have a sympathetic ear, you know. But my mom said too that prayer is very, very important. So she believes in prayer, we all do. And so just to keep my dad and my mom especially in prayer. And my sister and I, we're going to do, you know, the best that we can. And that's all that God wants from any of us. And in our lot in life is just to do, you know, the best that we can. And so in today's gospel today, we see the consequence of John the Baptist's insistence on speaking the truth. John is in prison because he spoke about Herod's marriage to his brother's wife. And he must have sensed that he was not going to get out of prison alive. His enemies were powerful and determined to get rid of him. And as he was languishing in prison, he would no doubt have looked at his life and wondered whether he was right. Was the Messiah coming soon? Had his baptism with water been the forerunner of the greater baptism that Christ would bring? Had it been worth giving up the prospect of marriage, a family life, to live in the desert, living on what little the wilderness supplied? Had his life been wasted? I'm sure many of you have asked yourself that question in your own life. Have I had a wasted life? Living in the wilderness, you know, They asked me, Father, how much weight have you lost? I says, what have you done? I says, it's that diet of locusts and wild honey. I think that would make anybody want to lose weight, you know? So John is looking at his life, and he's doing an examination. You know, and I've shared with you Nicholas, too. St. Nicholas, who's my favorite saint. We just had him a couple of days ago. When Nicholas was in prison, Nicholas is always depicted usually with white hair and a white beard. Because when he was in prison, his hair went white, turned white. You know, and that is a really, really important thing for me when I, as a young seminarian, when I was in the seminary and I met these bishops from Eastern Europe who were in prison for their faith. And I share that with you a lot of times. I hope you don't get tired of listening to me tell those kinds of stories, because they really changed my life. Saying that if you can be and sit in the prison cell, then why can't I be a priest and live this kind of life? Jesus replies by looking to the scripture and the reading used in our Old Testament today from the prophet Isaiah. The healings, though wonderful in themselves, are also signs to us that the chosen one is coming to be among us, that he's coming to be among God's chosen people. The miracles help people come to faith and to trust in Jesus. For some, even today, the miracles only last as the faith and trust only last as long as the miracles did. But for others, that faith and that trust would sustain them in times of trial and persecution. Jesus speaks to the crowds about John, a man who links the early Christians of Matthew's community with their Jewish roots. If you were able to attend Father's infancy narrative over in the church hall, you learned about the infancy narratives to the Jewish community from Matthew, and then to the Greek community, to Greeks writing in Luke's gospel, because Luke, the tradition says, was a Greek physician. He was a physician who went to the Greek people. Like them, John had a clear vision of truth. And like many of the prophets, they suffer hostility because they found their beliefs challenged. The prophets believed in the God of truth, the God of justice, the God who liberates, the God who loves, and with steadfast and enduring love. They believed in Emmanuel. God is with us. John's privilege, though it cost to his earthly life, was enormous, because John is the last line of the great prophets. He's the last one to prepare the way of the Lord. And then, you know, when we hear what happens to John, then after today, we don't hear from John anymore. He's in prison and he loses his life. But what does John do right there? That rose, that pink candle. That pink candle is the shepherd's candle. The shepherd's candle, why do we call it? You know, all the Advent candles have names. And the rose one, the pink one, is called the shepherd's candle. Why? Because the shepherds went to the manger preparing with joy in their hearts. With joy. And so that third Sunday, that's why the priest wears the rose vestments. And I always make a joke about the Pepto-Bismol every year. You know, this one is a good color, though. It's not that pink. The one over at St. Peter's is, you know, and I look like Ralphie, you know, with that pink bunny suit. But instead of the bunny ears, I have boots on today. Hopefully you have boots on, too, to keep your feet warm. You You know, but all of that is a sign to help us to prepare of what is to come. So one of my reasons why I had Father George here is that I don't want Advent to die. I want us to be prepared that when we welcome the newborn Messiah and we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, or Adeste Fidelis, whatever we're going to sing at our Christmas liturgies, that we welcome with hearts made new. Have you heard or seen a prophet in our time? You know, we could really use a prophet in our time. You know, a prophet to help us to renew, to help us to renew ourselves, to renew ourselves in our faith. And what was that message that the prophet gave you? And did the message that they give change your life? You know, so these next couple of days as we get ready for Christmas, you know, and I hope we are well prepared. And so I received a Christmas card from a friend of mine, and I just want to share this with you because it's the springboard of today. You know, the Eastern churches give us wonderful titles of saints, and it's usually followed by like a phrase, like Saint Mary of the Desert, Saint Nicholas, the Wonder Worker, Saint so-and-so, the Myrrh Gusher. I love that one, the Myrrh Gusher, that they're gushing myrrh. Myrrh comes, you know, and Bari in Italy, the oil still flows from Nicholas. He is also a myrrh gusher, if you will. And what do we call our patron here? John the Baptist. The forerunner who prepares the way of the Lord. If our greatest need was information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was entertainment, God would have sent us a celebrity. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God said to us, a Savior.